This is Radio Superior 1941, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1941. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
Broadcasting from the land of beautiful lakes, this is station KUWS. It's Wednesday, May 14th, 1941. Your announcer, Jack McKenna, speaking, and Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. Rapid Ray Paulson will be in with the sports, and of course, we'll have great music for you. I'm sore from battling spiders and yesterday's clean-up, paint-up campaign, Lou.
I've got those spider bites all over me. That porch we cleaned up and painted was thick with those things.
I'm glad that's over and done with. On with the 6 o'clock news, then, brought to you by Northwest Airlines. They'll fly you from Duluth to Chicago in less than 4 hours. How about that? Phone Melrose 7708 in the lobby of the Hotel Duluth. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. It's an historic day for Superior as shipbuilding resumes after 2 decades. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Although there have been some ship repair yards in service since the end of World War II, no ships have been built in the Twin Ports since 1918. President Fred Russell of the Lake Superior Shipbuilding Company says work will begin tomorrow on 2 naval oil barges. Keels will be formally laid at a ceremony at 1 o'clock with several civic leaders on hand. Because of naval security restrictions, this will not be open to the public. This effort began more than a year ago when Nazi Germany overran the low countries of Europe and defeated France. It became apparent that there would be a great demand for ships to build the national defense and to help England as it stood alone in its war effort against Germany. This is the 4th shipbuilding effort. Private investors tried to resurrect the old Globe shipbuilding yard, but that failed. American Shipbuilding is trying to get contracts for work in Superior, but so far nothing has materialized. Another effort is underway also at Globe. More than 500 men have been hired at Lake Superior Shipbuilding. Congressman Barney Gehrman believes the Maritime Administration will have many more orders for freighters and tankers. These 2 oil barges are slated for delivery to Norfolk, Virginia by early 1942, next spring, Lou.
Well, thanks, Mike. That's an exciting development for what was once the largest employer in Superior. Superior's fire chief has been suspended. The Fire and Police Commission voted 3-1 to suspend Chief James Sweeney after a fireman charged irregularities. Chief Sweeney allegedly used his fire crews while being paid by the city to do services for Pure Oil and Western Oil Companies in Superior. It's also alleged that $470 was paid to the chief by these oil companies. Firefighters spent 9 days, 24 hours a day, filling newly built oil tanks with water to test the tanks for leaks. $5 and $10 were paid to each fireman as well. A hearing will be set for Chief Sweeney. Less than a year after Governor Julius Heil found himself in hot water for saying people in northern Wisconsin need crying towels for all the things they ask from the state, the governor apparently is at it again. Progressive Senator Phil Nelson of Maple says the Republican governor owes the North an apology for using barroom language. Senator Nelson was referring to a conversation between Superior Association of Commerce President Dick Oyes about improving Highway 35. He says the governor thought that Highway 35 got little use and told Mr. Oyes that the people in the Northern District are, and we're quoting now, loafers and bums and ought to give the land back to the Indians, unquote. In another matter, Governor Heil says that he wants to protect Wisconsin from insidious groups. So he will decide this week whether to sign or veto a bill banning the Communist Party from the ballot. Opponents say the bill is not in keeping with democracy. Northwest Airlines news time is 6:06. Jack McKenna has this message from our sponsor.
Northwest Airlines has some interesting information here. Look. Only 3 hours, 40 minutes to Chicago. Now, let's face it, friends. That's a shorter time than Leadfoot Martin can drive it. Get there about four times quicker than the fastest ground transportation. That's Lou. Have more time for business, for fun, more fun at home with the family. Here's all it costs one way, $21.50. Round trip, $35.50. Leave Duluth, 8:05 a.m. Arrive Chicago, 11:45 a.m. just in time for lunch. Collect calls from range cities for reservations accepted. Just phone Melrose, 7708, Lobby Hotel Duluth, or any travel agent. That's Northwest Airlines. So the Gov says we're bums and loafers, eh? Now, that's not nice.
Well, I guess he figures most of the voters here are Progressive Party members, and Phil Nelson ran against him for governor. So there's no love lost. Nazi Deputy Fuhrer Rudolf Hess is talking freely to his British captors. We go to London for our World Shortwave Roundup and correspondent Webb Miller.
London calling. Webb Miller, your correspondent. The London Mail is reporting that escaped Nazi Deputy Fuhrer Rudolf Hess is expressing his disgust for the Nazi Party. After parachuting from a Messerschmitt fighter plane Saturday over Scotland, Herr Hiss is telling British interrogators that tension is high among Hitler's party chieftains. Specific information is not being released. Britain is inundating Germany and occupied Europe with broadcasts about Hess in many languages. The Reich itself, Germans are told not to listen to foreign broadcasts or face 4 to 6 year prison terms. The BBC is reporting that the information being disclosed by Herr Hess will make the German High Command perspire. It is hoped that important military secrets will be divulged. Prime Minister Winston Churchill himself is expected to question this prized prisoner. In London, this is Webb Miller calling Germany, come in Berlin.
This is the Third Reich. Max Jordan reporting. It has been disclosed that Rudolf Hess was on a peace mission to Britain when he left Germany last weekend. Authorized Nazi officials say the mission was Hess's idea and he acted alone. They say the Deputy Fuhrer left documents which show he planned on negotiating this truce through the Duke of Hamilton, an old acquaintance of Hess. Quoting one official, Hess was fixed by the messianic idea that by an audacious personal undertaking, he could achieve cooperation between the two Germanic nations, Germany and Britain. End quote. Hess knew the Duke of Hamilton after meeting at the Berlin Olympic Games in 1936 and believed he would lead a peace party in Britain against Prime Minister Winston Churchill. However, Hess must not have known that the Duke is a fighter pilot with the RAF now. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan calling America. Come in, Washington.
This is the nation's capital, Ray Tucker speaking. State Departmenters admit frankly, off the record, that the FDR administration has embarked on an oratorical blitzkrieg to prepare the American people for war with Germany or Japan, or both. It marks a complete about-face from earlier fervid protestations that the aid we would give Britain was designed to keep the U.S. out of the war. President Roosevelt is largely responsible for the hostility against America First groups who want to keep this country out of the European and Far Eastern battlefronts. But his press conference against ship convoys, which he proclaimed, convoying means shooting, and shooting means war, makes his new push all the more difficult. So while Mr. Roosevelt cannot reverse himself overnight, he will slowly shift his course to favor war. One way is through his cabinet. Thus, recent speeches by Secretaries Hull, Stimson, Wickard, and Knox in favor of convoying and virtual war must have had approval from the administration. So I expect soon the president will make an unofficial proclamation of war. In Washington, with the world whirligig, this is Ray Tucker speaking.
Turkey and Nazi Germany are opening talks. Turkish President İsmet İnönü met with the German ambassador Franz von Papen at Çankaya, that's the White House of Turkey. A secret flight of 21 bombers from the west coast to the Hawaiian Islands was revealed today by the War Department. The planes departed Hamilton Field in San Francisco yesterday, landing at Hickam Field on the island of Oahu. In local news, Ashland School Board renewed the contract of School Superintendent George Basford last night. Mr. Basford received a 3-year contract calling for an annual salary of $3,640. And Ashland School Board President John Kendrigan was reelected board president. Harold Soley was reelected vice president. Both votes were unanimous. The tug Butterfield left Ashland today on its first trip of the season. The Butterfield left for Pigeon River on Lake Superior's north shore, where it will pull a raft hauling 9,000 cords of pulpwood back to Ashland. The trip will take 10 to 14 days. And that, Jack, is the news.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Well, okay, then. It isn't. Why don't you tell us what you have?
It sounds like a dog napping. Some guy's Boston Bulldog was snatched on Sunday, and I've lined up an interview with the guy. He'll be calling in a couple of minutes, Luke.
You know, I haven't had a lot of success with your interviews. Why don't you go ahead and handle this one?
But you're the news guy, Lou. You've got to do it. Please?
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
I've never heard you sigh and groan before, but I'll take that as a yes. Now, friends, on with that forecast from the United States Weather Bureau for this Wednesday, May the 14th, 1941. Still rather cool, with fresh winds off Lake Superior. We'll have showers and thunderstorms tonight, with a high temperature of 54 degrees tomorrow. Now let's kick things off with this snappy number from Artie Shaw and his big hit from 1939. Begin the Begin on the Martin and McKenna Show. Arnie Shawn is summertime hit, Begin the Beguine. A favorite for young parkers along Duluth's skyline and the beach of Wisconsin Point.
We have a telephone hookup with Mr. Olgot Carlson of the Douglas County town of Oakland. Good evening, sir.
Well, evening used to be good when Park was around, Mr. Martin, but he's nowhere to be found, and I think he was snatched.
So you think he was stolen, Mr. Carlson?
You betcha I do. It was like this, sir. I went to visit Lars, my next-door neighbor, three blocks down the road. Old Pug went with me. He goes where I go. You know, he thinks he's a person. He wanted to visit Lars as much as I did. But Lars, well, he doesn't want Pug in his house. So I left Pug outside to sniff around and leave his mark on all the posts Lars has around his farm. I figured that'd keep Pug busy for quite a while. But no sooner than I was inside visiting with Lars than I heard a car pull up, a door slam, and then the car pull away.
And that was the last time you saw Pug?
I called out for him. Pug, I said, Pug, come to Papa. I can still see his pushed-in nose, stubby legs, happy tongue and a tail a-wagging.
And you told all this to the sheriff?
Oh, indeed I did, sir. You betcha. I did that right away. I told the operator to get me Sheriff Carlson. And I said, hey, Sheriff Frank Carlson, my dog's been snatched. Well, don't you know, Sheriff Carlson's a dog lover. So he's got the word out across the county. But that was Sunday. Here it is Wednesday. No Pug.
Well, maybe our listeners can help. What does Pug look like?
Well, he's a Boston Bulldog. The little guy's got a white chest, white nose, kind of floppy ears and a brindle coat. He comes if you call him Pug or Baby. I don't have much money for a reward, but by golly, I'd be forever grateful. You see, Pug's all I got. And I've all Pug's got. So he wouldn't just go running away. I'm a bachelor farmer out here in Oakland. He's been my only company for some time now.
Thank you, Mr. Olgot Carlson of Oakland. We'll see what we can do. Thank you, Mr. Carlson.
Well, I'd be obliged. Goodbye now.
That was nice of you to do that, Lou.
I like a good dog as much as the next guy.
So, everyone, listen up. Just holler out your window now for Pug. Let's see what happens. That's right. Just step out on your front porch, folks. Right now and holler, Pug! Meanwhile, let's listen to Larry Clinton's latest big hit. This is Deep Purple on the Martin and McKenna Show.
When the deep you're gone, your love lives on when moonlight beams. And as long as my heart will beat, lover, we'll always meet here in my deep purple dream.
Larry Clinton and Deep Purple on station KUWS.
We're getting phone calls from people saying that they're organizing search parties for Pug. I did call the dog pond, but no Boston Bulls in residence there.
Hey, guys, you know, I came as fast as I could, soon as I heard.
Hiya, George G.
This is Mr. George G. Newton of the George G. Newton Realty.
Now, I was going to tell you about some great, great deals on some homes just listed on the market. But when I heard Allgott Carlson just now, well, you know, we got to do something.
Yeah, I've got everyone calling Pug.
I did get a call from the police about that. Apparently this outburst of Pug calling is scaring away tourists.
Well, it is realtors to the rescue. I did a cold red phone call, and they are mobilizing right now. You see, realtors know this town better than anyone. We know where a guy like Pug might find his way. Like, for example, Myrtle Olson's place in Hayes Court. It's a beautiful seven-room home. It's got a garage in excellent condition, hardwood floors, plumbing in the garage. Just $3,900. It's a great place for a doggy trying to find his way home. She's always a soft touch for treats, too. Now, there's old man Ina Peterson. He's got five rooms and a bath in the north end. He's even got a small cellar, $1,000. Easy terms. Pug might find his way there.
This sounds a lot like George pitching again.
He means well. Say, George, what if someone picked up Pug and then dumped him off in the county?
Ah, well, then there's the Henry Blackwood place. It's 5 miles out of town. Six rooms, a barn, garage, a well, and garden space. He's renting that out for just $12 a month. Pug might like it there.
And if he was pushed out on Tower Avenue in a back alley.
Ah, now that's bad. I happen to know that's where the tough dogs hang out. I mean, they'll growl at you just to look at you. They just hang out, fighting, tipping over garbage cans. You know, up to no good, I tell you. Well, we realtors are checking out the doggy hotspots. Realtors to the rescue, I say. We'll find old Pug. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, George. We've got sports next, folks, but keep yelling, Pug.
Unless you see a scared tourist.
On with the fine sounds of Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra, and Once in a While on the Martin and McKenna Show. Pug.
Of the moments I share with you. once before we two drifted apart. Ooh.
In love's smoldering ember, one spark may remain. If love still can remember, the spark may burn again.
I know that I'll be contented with yesterday's memory, knowing you think of me once in a while.
That's Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra and Once in a While on Station KUWS. But now with the sports, here's Rapid Ray.
Did they find Pug?
Well, not yet. But if I could, Ray, I've got someone with a message for all members of the VFW. Good evening, Draft Board Chairman Joe Raffoli.
Good evening. Let me start by saying no dog napper is going to get away with this. Not as long as the Doughboys of Blackjack Pershing are around, or even the Gray Hairs of the Spanish-American War. Now, attention, men. It's time to start beating the bushes, patrolling the city and the county, checking out your neighborhoods. We're looking for a Boston Bulldog. White chest, no knees or neck, crunched-up face, big teeth, bad breath.
Sounds like he could be describing himself.
I heard that, Martin.
That was McKenna. I'm Martin.
As if it matters. Anywho, I want the sergeant-at-arms in both the VFW and the Bloomberg Post to muster all the members they can find, to find Pug. That is all.
I don't understand how in less than 30 seconds you can antagonize the local draft board chairman.
It's a knack, I guess. Go ahead, Ray.
Thanks, Jake. Ball players stopped warm-ups at Muni Stadium tonight just to look for the little rascal, Pug. Okay, sport fans, some of baseball's best-known and best-loved old-timers are about to go on the rocks tomorrow. May 15th is the deadline for ball clubs to get their rosters down to 25 players. On the hot seat are Paul Wehner, Dick Bartel, Wes Farrell, and Earl Averill, the last two of the Boston Bees. Hey, Patriots, one of the greatest in the game is in the Army now. MVP slugger Hank Greenberg of Detroit was sworn into Uncle Sam's Army today after volunteering earlier this year. The star outfielder will take a bit of a pay cut from $8,000 a month to $21 a month. That new contraption featured in last year's World's Fair, radio television, may be hot stuff in baseball's future. That's what Larry McPhail of the Brooklyn Dodgers thinks. He says if his bums ever make it to the World Series, he'll have the games piped into a half dozen Brooklyn theaters on television. And come on out to the Muni tonight as the Superior Blues kick off their 1941 home season in the Northern League pennant chase. Manager Art Hilger says he's got more power hitters in the lineup, led by first baseman Joe Monahan. Come on, root for the home team against the Eau Claire Bears. Game time, 8 o'clock. And give an extra holler or two for Pug, sport fans. This is Rapid Ray Paulson, reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
Hey, that's really something about Hank Greenberg, eh, Ray?
Well, he says his country comes first, and he puts his mouth where his money is, so to speak.
Or something like that. One more tune tonight, folks. Here's Benny Goodman and his orchestra and Sing, Sing, Sing on the Martin and McKenna Find Pug the Dog Show. Hey, you've got to like that one, folks. Sing, Sing, Sing by Benny Goodman and his orchestra on station KUWS. And Gene Krupa on the drums, in case you wanted to know. Any luck, Lou? We have to sign off in a minute, but I don't want to until we find Pug.
Maybe you can stall while I make a few phone calls.
Can do, Lou. This is a message from Wisconsin Telephone Company, Superior Manager M.M. Calhoun. He advises you to answer your telephone promptly and pleasantly. The person calling may be your best friend or best customer or both. Greet him pleasantly as you would face to face. And remember to give your name or telephone number when answering.
I've got Mr. Algot Carlson back on the telephone.
Yeah, this is Algot Carlson at number 744, speaking on the telephone machine. Thank you.
Any news about Pug?
Well, I've never seen anything like it in all my days, land sake. People have been pulling up in their cars with dogs left and right. Big dogs, small dogs, even up a doodle. These folks mean well. It's good of them. But just a minute ago, a man came to my door, and there was Pug. I couldn't believe my eyes. He looked all scruffy, but it was Pug, all right.
Who found him?
Well, funny thing, Dad. He stopped, presented me with Pug, and he left.
He didn't even ask for a reward?
Oh, he did ask me if I was interested in selling my place. I told him I wasn't. And he said something about winning some and losing some. And then he left.
George G.
Pug and I, we want to thank you and everyone listening. You have made this bachelor a very happy man.
Good night, Mr. Carlson.
Yeah, you betcha. It will be. Goodbye.
Just another happy ending on the Martin and McKenna Show. I like that. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, friends. The good Lord willing, of course. And we're not out looking for some other lost pet. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna wishing one and all a very good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1941, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Duke Scourge, Al Katz, John Munsell, Tom Martinson, Ray Paulson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1941 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.